night thinking of her, and right now I just damn well need her. I want to taste her mouth again. I want to taste every inch of her until we both drown in pleasure, and then I want to do it all over again. I study her lovely profile, and God, she's so beautiful. "Should we forget what happened?" she asks, bringing her eyes to mine. I smile, shaking my head no. "No," I tell her, my voice thick. I reach out and gently seize the back of her neck, pulling her to me, unable to resist, crushing her lips beneath mine. As I feel her sag, I rub my tongue along hers, coaxing her to let go, as I use my other hand to run it up her side, around her waist into her back, pulling her flush so her breasts are crushed against my chest, and the only thing between me and feeling those lush little nipples is our clothes. She's soft all over, and God, she smells as good as she feels. I groan at the thought of having her beneath me, wanton and wild. As things get heated, and I've got her breast in one hand, her nipple puckered under my circling thumb, our panting breaths become audible in the back of the car, and I kiss her lips, then go to town with the skin on her neck and jaw. I trail a path to the back of her ear, where she quivers and seems to go even crazier with desire. We are both out of control, an urgency to our kisses, our movements, our need. I slip my hand under her skirt and ease her panties aside, easing my middle finger through her opening. She jerks, and her fingers sink into my shoulders, her breaths blasting out of her lips and into my mouth. "I want you," I tell her, dipping my tongue into her mouth as I pull out my finger and insert it back in, feeling her shudder from the pleasure. "I mean to have you writhing in pleasure like this, I promise." I ease back and look down at her, and Charlotte inhales sharply as I stroke my finger along the outside of her folds, now slick and wanting me. I smile and rub the pad of my thumb of my other hand along her lower lip, pulling it apart from the top. I groan when her breath catches, getting one last taste of her and one last feel of her sex clenching around my finger as I drive it inside. I'm playing with fire, and I don't care. This girl does things to me, from the way her hair smells to the way she moves right now as I move my finger. I've never wanted to take a woman the way I want her. When the car stops, I hold her small face between my hands, ease back, and lower my forehead to hers, my gaze hovering before hers as I look into her glazed, lust-filled eyes. "I'll find the right time for us. Let's keep our head in the game. For now," I rasp. A quivering smile appears on her lips, then she gets out of the car and into her apartment building. I press the mic button. "Wait until she's safely inside," I tell Wilson. "And don't even say it."
"I didn't say shit," Wilson says.
I laugh to myself, my eyes falling on her retreating back. My blood is boiling in my veins as I watch her disappear. I stick my finger into my mouth, suck her sweet and acid taste, and shut my eyes. I let my head drop back and stare at the roof of the car, exhaling heavily as I lower my hand. "Keep our head in the game," I said. Though she and I both know, it's a whole other game we are now playing. When I get to my apartment, my best friend from college, Beckett, is at the door, clad in jeans and a turtleneck, with his usual preppy sweater draped around his neck. "Well, hello, Romeo," he snickers. I frown at the comment, open the door, and let him inside, tossing my keys and my wallet on the coffee table. "Moody, I take it it's the redhead," Beckett says. "What?" I turn round to face him, and Beckett seems taken aback by how fast he was able to bait me, when usually I never take the bait. "It's all over the news. You took her shoe shopping. How suave," Beckett explains, snickering on the last word. "What the?" Charging across my living room, I turn on the television and spot the headline. "Matt Hamilton shopping with mysterious redhead."
Jesus.
I throw the remote aside, punch my hand into a pillow. Then I grab a beer and toss one to Beckett as I drop down on the couch. This girl has me losing my mind. I drag my hand over my face, my molars gritted hard enough to break a lesser man's jaw. "What's going on?"
She's in my campaign. Senator Wells's daughter. He sighs. Matt, shit, man. You need to be careful. Hell, I know that. You think I don't? I scrape my hand across my jaw, trying to loosen it. Then I take a swig of my beer, drop my head back on the couch, and exhale. I'm so wrapped up in this girl. With the tension of the election, and the fact that I see her every day, I'm going insane. I shake my head. It was reckless, and it didn't matter. Nothing mattered but feeding this wild thirst, getting rid of that fucking feeling of having my hands tied, quenching the hunger to touch her, fully knowing that she wanted it, craved it like me. I not only want this girl, I enjoy being with her. Growing up the way I did, it feels like 1,001 expectations are piled on me, one after the other. It can be isolating when people put you up on a pedestal. It wears on you, having to be the bigger man all the time, to always live up to the Hamilton name. Everybody has always wanted me to be something bigger than I am, to guard and follow the legacy of my father and the family name. Even if it feels as if it is my one driving desire to do just that, with her, it feels like she wants me to be nothing more than I am, and nothing less. The few moments together that we've had, I was able to let loose with her, be real with her. She's the only woman I've ever been truly confident won't leave my bed and take our story to the press. The only girl I'm myself with, no mistrust there, no other agenda, not from me and not from her. But I also know that I may have a dose of pixie dust with the public. They've been forgiving with me, with my every transgression, rumored or real. But I can't say they would be as forgiving with her if this got out. Yeah, I need to be more careful. I glance at Beckett, a ton of frustration weighing on me. Wilson's familiar three knocks resound in the room, and he opens the door. I know what he's about to say. The press is probably outside, and they want a statement. Are they all outside? He knows very well who they are. Yep. I get to my feet. Let's go, Beckett. Let's give them a diversion to keep them away from her door. How can you stand having to give a statement for every time you take a shit, man? Beckett growls. You get used to it.
18. Rumors. Charlotte. By the next morning, everyone is talking about an affair. Last night on the 11 o'clock news, the first spot featuring Matt and me appeared on a local channel. Security camera footage of Matt and a mysterious redhead thought to be a campaign aide secretly trying to buy shoes. I hate seeing it. I hate it with every fiber of my being, but the moments we shared, the lingering feeling of his hands on me at the tidal basin, it almost makes the scandalous rumors of shoe shopping worth it. I go downstairs to check my mailbox, only to find two reporters at my building door. I know Matt must be fielding so many more, but to me, two reporters is too many. Miss Wells. No comment, thank you. I struggle to open the door once more. Are you and Matt Hamilton on the tape? I slide into the building and see my message machine blinking madly with 52 messages. I disconnect it. I get an email from my parents. Scandal, the subject line reads. I don't open it. Kayla texts me. I text back. I'm fine, thanks for worrying. I am not romantically involved with Matt Hamilton. Sent. Not involved, I tell myself. Women voters are going crazy, though, and by that evening, Matt is on the news. It is not true that I'm in a relationship with Miss Wells. We took a hike around the basin as we reviewed my upcoming campaign schedule, so let's keep the focus on that. I turn off the TV with a heavy feeling in my stomach. I eat and think about the situation over my grilled chicken and salad, then change into my running gear. That night I plunge myself into a run, and run like I'm running a marathon when I head to my parents' house to say goodbye before the campaign tour. They're expecting me in the living room, and I know they were discussing the news. The somber looks on their faces say it all. My father only hugs me and tells me in his gruff way to take care of myself, then heads upstairs. My mother hands me a glass of lemonade and eyes me worriedly as we sit on opposite couches in the living room. We saw the news? I groan. Not you too, Mom. She nods.
Definitely me, Charlotte. For decades, your father and I have avoided any sort of scandal. Scandal is a career killer in politics.
Mom, I know. It was completely innocent.
Just remember you're a lady, Charlotte.
Ladies are always ladies first, women second. Understand?
Yes, I understand.
Don't worry, I wouldn't cause any scandal for us.
It's not that Matt isn't... Goodness, he's a breath of fresh air for this country, and he's running independently. Charlotte, the parties will be out to destroy him. You don't want to fuel that fire. He belongs to America now.
He always has.
I know, Mom, I know, I say.
Don't fall in love with him. I duck my head, laughing mirthlessly.
Why would you say that?
Her eyes shine with sympathy and understanding.
Because any woman would. But you're not any woman. You're your father's and my daughter.
I placate her for the next half hour, and I know I should be concerned. I am concerned. But nothing can stop me from hitting my bed and reliving Matt's kisses 1,000 times.
19. Traveling. Charlotte.
We're traveling on a twin-engine plane for the campaign. Our first stop is Dallas, and I'm the only woman flying among a group of four men and a dog. Matt's junior campaign manager, Hessler, his intimidating grandfather, Patrick, Carlisle, Jack, and his hot owner, Matt. Heavenly kisser. Hamilton. I'm nervous about the news. Those kisses we shared were so dangerous. I had no idea that I could be so reckless and impulsive until that night. Matt smiles at me ruefully when he greets me, and I swear every single existing butterfly in my stomach takes flight because he looks genuinely happy to see me. Like he regrets almost getting caught, but he doesn't regret the kisses one bit. God. His kisses. I try not to remember the launch of heat they caused inside me as I greet the men by the plane steps. Carlisle, judging by the tension in his shoulders when he looks at me, seems pretty unhappy about the news. And the first clue I get that implies I shouldn't even be traveling with Matt comes from his grandfather. He sees me and asks,
"Who is she?"
"My scheduler. She's Senator Wells's daughter and an old family friend." Matt introduces us. "Charlotte, Patrick Hamilton, my grandfather."
"I know who she is. Why is she here?"
his grandfather huffs, turning around and boarding the plane. Wow. The man hates me. Matt shoots me an ignore him look and puts his hand protectively on the back of my neck as he urges me up the plane steps. A frisson shoots down my spine, and though the touch lasted only a second, the feel of his touch lasts for much longer. Matt settles his big body on the chair facing the cockpit. I take the seat behind his. I have never before been more grateful that Matt brought Jack. He lets him out of his crate after takeoff, and Jack immediately comes over to sniff me and lick my hands. He's keeping his eyes on Matt while I plug in my earbuds to give the men some privacy while they talk. Still, I overhear them discussing various subjects. The stabilization of the economy, Matt running as an independent.
"You're a Harvard graduate, like your father. You've lived abroad, you know what's out there,"
his grandfather passionately argues.
"Your father was too young the first time he wanted to run and was told to wait, and he did. You take the cake of it all, Matthew, really you do." "People are loyal to him, Patrick," Carlisle appeases. "No one sniped about Lawrence after his death. There were no unauthorized leaks of information regarding his presidency. The people are insanely loyal to the Hamiltons." "But they're loyal to their parties, too," Patrick counters with a meaningful look in Carlisle's direction. "What did you want me to be? A senator?" Matt asks in a steely voice that silences everyone. Even his grandfather finally seems to shut up. I'm aware of his grandfather constantly glancing in my direction during the flight. He doesn't even try to lower his voice when he says,
"You keep your hands off her. You belong to the country now."
Dead silence falls. Jack's ears perk up as if he senses something. And though the air is thick with tension, Matt leans back in a lounging pose as he eyes his grandfather. "Yeah, Granddad. I appreciate you being here. But I know what I'm doing." Leaping off the seat next to me, Jack bounds up the aisle and sits at Matt's feet, nudging Matt's thigh with his nose.
Matt keeps his intimidating stare on his grandfather as he absently strokes a hand atop Jack's head and glances at me. He's got the sleeves of his shirt rolled to his elbows, and he's so muscular that veins pop out on his arms. I remember our conversation and my mother's words, not completely dissimilar to his grandfather's, and I quickly break gazes, too sucked in by the dark proprietary flash in his eyes, and get myself busy once again, going over all the names of the local aides we will be meeting and greeting at the Dallas headquarters today. We check into the hotel and head to our local office, and for the next week, the marathon of media and crowds begins all over the southern states. Wherever we land, there's always a receiving committee of people waving placards and chanting, "Hamilton for the country! Born for this!" I'm so proud of stupid, wonderful Matt and how he's impacting people. His easy charisma simply wins over the people instantly. For years, he protected his privacy while giving off the air of a handsome, cultured rake with unlimited money and unquenched appetites. He looks like the bad boy of politics at the same time as he looks like the man you want to entrust yourself and your children to. He already has international respect. His father has a whole library in his name, as many ex-presidents do, and a history of preserving relics. And now it seems like the media has been waiting decades to lie down before the powerful Hamilton legacy again. He knows just how to greet the reporters. He even knows the names of most. Bulbs flash as we land in Miami and step out of the jet toward a silver SUV. "How do you do that?" I glance at Matt, who's dressed in jeans and a white button-down shirt, emitting more heat than the Florida sun up above. He shoots me a questioning sideways glance. "What?" he asks with a grin, the wind playing with his hair. "Damn wind. My fingers are jealous." "Know exactly how to treat them," I add. He shrugs as if getting along with the press is simply second nature to him. "The thing with the press is," he says, "you need to keep them fed so they don't steal into your home and have a picnic at your expense. Keep them sated with just the right amount of info so they're not hungry enough to try to rummage through the entire contents of your kitchen." I smile. "You're cunning." "Cautious," he easily contradicts. "Calculating." He continues to smile, silent. Then he looks at my lips for a second, long enough to make my stomach clutch with wanting, and he quietly admits, "No contest." I laugh and try to shake off his effect on me as we climb into the SUV. I'm nervous. Tummy clenching, butterflies fluttering nervous. Not because of traveling. But you know the flutters that are there even when your mind is somewhere else? I have them. I've had them for the past week. I can't get rid of them. My breath keeps catching when Matt's and my gazes meet. I keep feeling my sex grip when he looks at my mouth or asks me for something and seems to purposely drag his fingertip over my thumb when I hand it over. We're in the car now. I'm sandwiched between him and his grandfather, and yet the car is all about Matt, Matt's smell, the space Matt's body takes. This is the first guy I've ever fantasized about, and the young version of him was only an inkling of the man he is now. The whole ride to our hotel, I'm aware of a low, dull hum in the pit of my stomach, and the things his hands are doing as he fiddles with his phone and takes a call from someone named Beckett, who I've learned is one of his Harvard friends, and who it seems will be catching up with us later. Quietly, I stare out the windows at the scenery, and then I opt to review the week's itinerary. When Matt ends his call, he leans over my shoulder. His jaw is about an inch from touching my shoulder. And is it strange that my shoulder feels hot simply by that nearness of him? Stomach clutching harder than before, I lift the schedule so Matt can look at it. His beautiful lips curve, and he shakes his head, that adorable smile still on his lips. "Don't show it to me. Difficulty reading small type, remember?" he chides. But then he reaches for his reading glasses, slips them on, takes my copy, dragging his thumb over the back of mine as he does, and skims it. My lungs feel like rocks. I can't really say I'm breathing right. But I don't want to pass out here in front of him and his grandpa. I study the hard planes of his face as he reads, which soften as his hair falls on his forehead. He shuts the agenda and removes his glasses. "I'm going to be busy," he says. "I know you like busy. And at this point, you kind of don't have any other choice." He frowns as if offended I even implied this. "I don't want one." Then a gleam of admiration settles in his eyes. He lowers his voice so that only I can hear him. You're doing a great job, Charlotte. You're one of the most hardworking people I've ever met. I can tell you really believe in what you're doing. His voice so close shoots a million and one sparks along my body. I keep my gaze on his. I keep my voice low, too. I was born here, and I'm going to die here, and I want my children to live here, and my grandchildren. And I want it to be as wonderful as it was for me, even more wonderful than it is now. He looks intently into my eyes, and for a mere second, a smile appears.
Well, I'm not planning on children or grandchildren, but I'd like to make sure yours have it as wonderful as you'd want it to be.
I didn't expect that. Hearing Matt, young, virile, every woman's fantasy, say that confuses me.
Why?
There's a silence.
Why don't you plan to have children?
I ask, this time being more specific, my voice still low. I sound a little stunned and maybe a little regretful, but that's because I think Matt would be a great father. Matt Hamilton would be the hottest baby daddy in the continent. In the world. A smile tugs at one of the corners of his lips, and amusement lights up his eyes over my brazenness.
I don't like doing things half-ass.
As I register what he said, I glance down at my lap. Out of the corner of my eye, I'm aware of Matt's grandfather staring at me with a scowl. And then it hits me. His plan to be president will take precedence over everything else, even his personal plans. I don't even know what to say. It hurts to know this, but beyond that, I just didn't think it was possible to admire him more than I already did.
Charlotte, Allison says behind me as we mingle with the crowd, her camera always at the ready for her to snap the next shot. We're at a fundraiser consisting of mostly businessmen and women, and the room is packed to capacity. Almost 1,000 people here at the exclusive event, all craving to meet their candidate.
You two are looking lovely tonight,
Mark says as he joins us to mingle. We're in Miami, and because the event fell on the weekend, Mark surprised us by joining us unexpectedly.
Couldn't miss the fun, Mark? Allison teases.
There's a silence between them, and Allison giggles. And all the time I keep stealing covert looks at Matt. One second his eyes flick up from the crowd and in my direction, as if he has an extra sense. I turn away and laugh with Mark.
What's so funny?
I'm sorry, I shake my head and smile. While Allison goes to take a good shot of Matt, Mark and I compare life stories. Mine a bit sheltered, I suppose. And I learn that he married his childhood sweetheart and divorced at only 30. Sounds hard, I tell him.
It is. Adult love is different, more sacrificing than we thought. It sort of opened our eyes. We grew apart. But enough tear-jerking. I want to know about you. Mark?
He turns to one of our co-workers, a middle-aged man who's in charge of web advertising.
When I come back, Mark then finishes.
He winks and leaves just as Allison returns.
He's nice.
And he's into you, FYI, she says. He's nice, and he's not into me. I watch him leave and search myself for a tiny spark. And nope, there is no spark. Allison starts circling the room, taking shots of other significant figures in attendance. I look at where Matt was, and I feel a kick of disappointment that he's no longer there.
He was thirsty. I swing around when I hear his voice behind me and he shows me a glass of wine.
I frown. I was looking for Mark, I lie. His eyes twinkle and he takes a sip. We stand side by side, his shoulder touching mine. I glance at Carlisle across the room, whose expression is more than ecstatic. Obviously the fundraising is going well, and the turnout was greater than we'd all anticipated. You seem to have an innate ability to draw crowds, I compliment. Matt glances around the ballroom and then back at me. With that mercurial face, he'd make any other president sweat during negotiations.
You're not drinking anything, he finally says.
I'm too lazy to go to the bar and I'd rather the waiters take care of the guests, but Mark offered.
Mark's with Carlisle.
He waves at one of the waiters, who immediately comes forward.
The lady would like... What would you like, Charlotte?
Any white wine is fine. Butterflies rush down my arms when he plucks a flute from the tray and hands it over. He's looking at me, watching me sip, when he's approached by a group of newcomers, and I reluctantly duck away and start blending with the crowd again.
Charlotte.
Ah, yes. Turning in surprise at the voice, I spot a young, tall African-American. His face is vaguely familiar, but I can't seem to place it. Do I know you? He nods in the direction of our candidate. I'm friends with Hamilton.
Ah,
college days, he explains.
Ah,
I point at him cheekily. I bet you know quite a few things. I steal a look at Matt, but he's in such a large group that I can't spot him. He lifts his fingers and invisibly zips up his lips.
Definitely won't be telling.
Oh, come on. I now realize why he seemed familiar. Clad in jeans and a preppy sweater, I realize Beckett is Matt's best friend. He's got a shaved head, pristine, smooth complexion, warm eyes and full lips, and teeth that flash white against his smile. He grins and signals for me to take a seat at one of the nearby tables, joining me.
We used to try to lose the Secret Service. They tagged along everywhere he went. It annoyed Matt. He tried to lose them for life. And look at him now.
I laugh. Somehow I can tell that he is protective of Matt. We then talk about Matt's dad and the Golden Era, and what got him killed. We fall silent when we see Matt approach us. Beckett was telling me some stories, I tell him. He eyes his friend dubiously, as if suddenly he just doesn't trust him. He said you'd do anything to get rid of your detail, that you learned to fly the Marine One helicopter as your 18th birthday present from your dad, and that your first dog in the White House was named Lucky, but your mother called him Loki because he loved to tear up the tulip beds.
Did he tell you all that?
He lowers one brow a little farther than the other and gives him a you-didn't look, and Beckett laughs.
I couldn't resist.
He slaps his back, and as Beckett stands up to cede his seat next to me, I swear he tells him,
I don't blame you.
Butterflies pop in my stomach, swift and violent. It's not just the words, but the tender tone that surprise me. I tear my eyes away and stare at the glass in my hand, suddenly very preoccupied with how much liquid is in there, and the exact situation of the wine. Matt simply says something to Beckett that I can't hear, his hand resting on the back of the chair Beckett just vacated. I sit here, struggling with all my emotions. If these are the crowds you draw as a candidate, I won't want to know what kind of power you'll hold as president, I say as I glance around. Matt watches me all this time, his sharp espresso eyes narrow a little.
What else did Beckett tell you?
He asks suspiciously. I shrug mysteriously, and his lips quirk over my stubbornness when Carlyle comes and asks Matt to give a speech. As Matt stands and crosses the room, the crowd breaks out in applause, and I get hit with a "This is who you are" moment. This is what you're doing. I can't stop smiling. He's quiet as he goes up on a small podium. Matt Hamilton. I want the warmth of the light that Matt Hamilton represents. Matt waits for everyone to settle down, and then everyone waits in silence, all eyes on him.
I'd like to thank you all for coming tonight. Nice to see so many familiar faces and so many new ones as well.
He nods at everyone.
I'm sure you've noticed we lack slogans in tonight's decorations. I'd like to thank my team for their efforts. The truth of the matter is, nobody pays attention to slogans anymore.
They need to know what you bring to the table,
a very boisterous elderly man yells.
I bring me.
Silence. He spreads his palms on the podium and leans forward.
For years, the public has come to believe every promise made by every candidate has been a lie. Nobody believes in them anymore. Politics have been totally tainted by propaganda. I want it to be clear we're running a very easy slogan campaign and a no-slandering campaign. I serve my country. When asked how I plan to serve my team,
he looks pointedly at me.
And I have come to this.
He nods behind him to where Carlyle has turned on a visual.
We're calling it the Alphabet Campaign. We're fixing, reworking, and improving everything from A to Z in this country. It's an ambitious goal and one I will work tirelessly to achieve. There are so many things right about this country, and so many things that can be better than right. We want to go back to the times, we want to even surpass the times, when they've been phenomenal.
He starts naming them.
Arts, bureaucracy, culture, debt, education, foreign relations policies.
There are titters of excitement rushing across the room. I stand there, awed like the rest of the room, feeling a connection to him. A kind of connection I've never in my life felt before. 20. One Touch. Charlotte. The crowds are surging. For the past month, we've had over 500,000 people in each state. Strange, but I somehow feel like I know these people. Sometimes it's the look in their eyes, like Matt is their only hope in the world. He speaks to them about everything, not just the present, but how we mold the future within our present, how the decisions we make now affect those who haven't lived yet. Our best engagements come with kids, but guess what? They cannot vote. And still, they're my favorites. There's something about Matt when he's with children that tugs at me on so many levels. Today we're leaving a children's hospital, and I've been handing out treats to the kids when Matt walks up to me and tells me it's time to leave. That's when one of them yells, "Kiss her, Matt! Kiss her!" Carlisle instantly mutters in Matt's direction,
"Yeah, that's probably the opposition wanting to hang you for it later."
"He's a kid," Matt tells Carlisle, laughing. He shoots him an amused look, then me. Our eyes meeting, something mischievous lurking in his gaze as he lifts my hand and passes his warm velvet lips across my knuckles. There's a dark sparkle in his gaze, reminding me that we both know a secret that nobody but him and I know. It's over too soon, and I drop my hand as if he burned me and try to focus on the delighted kids, all giggling because of what Matt did. The touch stays with me. It stays with me as we head out to the car, where savvy reporters who'd been peering through the hospital windows mill about.
"Matt, do it again! We missed it!" a reporter yells.
"Good." He grins as he helps me into the car and shuts the door. We all head off. I'm silent, the hand he kissed sort of balled protectively over my lap. I'm aware of our shoulders inches apart, our thighs touching, his scent in my lungs. And his kiss remains. His touch remains. He remains. I shift and put some distance between us as I pretend to peer out the window. My thoughts race to the pounding of my heart. I feel him glance at my profile, his stare like a weight, tangible on me. "He'll know how you feel, Charlotte. He'll know that a part of you is right now only thinking, kiss me. Kiss me when we're alone. Kiss me because you want to, like you did in D.C. I fight the feeling all night in my hotel room, telling myself that it's better we haven't picked up after that night at the Tidal Basin. It's risky, and the country's future matters more than a week or a month of delicious sexual activity. Matt was just indulging the child at the hospital, I remind myself. But no matter how much I analyze it, the flutters won't stop. This want for him builds and builds inside of me with nowhere to go. I head to bed early, with images of watching him work out that morning at the hotel gym dancing through my head. He loves working out. He's been giving this campaign all he's got. I wonder if he's as arduous and loving as he is in the rest of the things he does. I picture him in the highest office in the land, his bed always warmed by someone capable of relieving the stresses a president must endure. I feel a pang of jealousy, then press my lips together in disgust at myself and push the thoughts out of my mind, opting to pick up some of my work files because I already know I won't be able to sleep yet. I grab my pens and start making notes when there's a knock on the door. 21. Meeting. Charlotte. It's midnight, so why is there a knock on the door? Matt. The name sort of blooms in my mind, and suddenly, deep in my stomach and in my chest cavity, hope is kicking and leaping and screaming as I pull a robe over me, tie the sash, and hurry to open the door. Be Matt. Be Matt. Wilson stands on the other side.
He wants to see you.
He scans my room over my shoulder.
Alone.
Oh. God. 10. It's been 10 days since he said he wanted me. I wondered when the day would come. I'd even started to believe it might not ever happen. But now Wilson is at my door, saying Matt wants to see me. I don't even know what to expect of this meeting. He could very well want nothing but to brainstorm, or maybe tell me it's a bad idea now that he's had time to reflect on it. He'd be right. So right. So I try to calm down my reckless desire for Matt Heavenly Kisser Hamilton,
and I prepare for a professional meeting, notebook in hand, ready to record any ideas or changes. Even though Wilson said he wanted to see me alone, I refuse to get my hopes up or have them drowned. I have trouble swallowing as I nod and say, "I'll meet you at the elevator bank in 2 minutes." I shut the door and then lean on it, trying to catch a big breath. Fuck. Matt is going to be the end of me. Maybe the end of my career, too. And I should probably take that into serious consideration before I do something reckless. I don't. I kick into action and rush to my small closet. I change into a skirt and blouse, gather my things, grab my room key, and shut my door, following Wilson to the elevators, then down the back exit to the hotel's underground parking lot. The door opens from within the car as I approach. "Charlotte," a deliciously wicked voice murmurs from the shadows of the back seat. "Matt." I swallow the lump of excitement and desire that gathers in my throat. I'm wet already, nipples pressing into the fabric of my bra and blouse. He scoots over and I slip inside, shutting the door behind me. He's dressed in black, smells expensive, and he looks hotter than sin. He also moves fast as sin as he reaches out to take my chin between his thumb and finger and forces me to look into his beautiful, dark eyes. "I hope I didn't disturb your sleep." His voice is husky, and so is mine.
"Actually, you did, but you didn't have to send Wilson to knock on my door to do that."
He smiles and gazes at me, sliding his other hand over the seat until it covers mine. I catch my breath at the touch. He squeezes my fingers, forcing me to meet his gaze. Wilson drives down the darkened streets while Matt lifts my hand with both of his, turns it over, and drops a kiss on the inside of my palm. I catch my breath, the warm and silky tip of his tongue flicking out, circling the sensitive skin at the center of my palm. I groan, inching closer to his body, emanating heat. Matt grips me by the hips and pulls me the rest of the way to him. He brushes my hair behind my forehead.
"I asked Wilson to help me secure some privacy for us." He studies my features.
"I'm glad," I admit thickly.
I reach up to his shadowed face.
"God, is this happening? Really?"
I'm stroking my fingers lightly over his taut flesh, loving the feel of the shadow of beard across his jaw beneath my fingertips. The way his jaw clenches as he lets me touch him, his eyes absolutely feasting on my face.
"If you don't stop looking at me like that, we won't make it to the elevators," he warns.
"How am I looking at you?"
"The same way you looked at me when I kissed your knuckles at the hospital."
"Oh no, I looked at you a certain way? That can't be too good. People could see."
His lips tug at the corners. "They're used to girls flirting with me. It's my own reactions I need to watch."
He smiles, then leans over and pecks my lips. I lick my lips, tasting him on them.
"You're very good at controlling your reactions."
"I wouldn't be so sure. My grandfather's onto me."
"He hates me, doesn't he?"
"He hates the idea of anything standing between me and what he wants for me."
I exhale.
"You looked great with the kids out there today. At the hospital,"
he says, voice low and appreciative.
"Me? It's you they love."
He chuckles, slowly shaking his head.
"If that's true, then you've won them over just as much. Otherwise, why would they ask me to kiss a girl if it's not someone they'd want to see me with?"
He smiles and leans back, eyeing me.
"See, kids aren't affected by norms and rules. They just see what is and know exactly how they'd like it to be."
It made me laugh that you indulged the kids but not the nosy reporters.
They threw it as bait. I'm not giving them that. At least not willingly.
He looks at me then, and the understanding of the risks weighs down the silence between us. Wilson pulls into a smaller hotel just a few blocks away from ours. It's more low-key. Not exactly one star, but not five either. A place where Matt wouldn't be expected to stay.
"I'm right behind you. Power off your phone," Matt instructs.
I'm so nervous that I'm chewing on my lower lip as I take the room key Matt gives me before I open the car door.
"Don't play too hard with that lip. That's for me to do later."
I pause, release my lip, watch his lips curve into a slow, satisfied smile. And I smile back. Then I quickly turn off my phone, exhale, tuck the key into my side pocket, and head to the elevators.
This is so reckless. So reckless, but the prospect of his touch is too thrilling.
A woman in a red sweater boards the elevator with me. My heart starts thrumming in my chest. I keep my head down, busily staring at my Mary Janes. My pulse throbs with adrenaline, anticipation, and fear. Down the hall, I slide the key into the slot and enter the room. Spacious, simple, modern, and elegant. I hurry to the bathroom, shake my hair loose, pinch my cheeks, and then head outside, pacing. I wait for minutes until the door opens. His tall form fills the doorway, still dressed in black, except for a cap on his head. The only guy I've ever wanted. He steps in and shuts the door with one elbow. I exhale. "Did anyone see you?" I ask. He takes off the New York cap. "No." I was sure to keep my head down. Large and agile and gorgeous, he crosses the room, takes my hand, lifts it to his mouth, and skims a kiss over the back of my fingers. I watch, transfixed, when he starts to suck the tips ever so exquisitely in his warm mouth. His gaze is like a missile of heat aiming straight for the hot spot between my legs as he licks me, watching me with heated eyes as he nibbles and sucks carefully on each one. I groan softly. He releases my hand, his warm fingers curving around my hip. I feel his nose at the top of my head, against my scalp. The stroke of one hand on my hair, from the top of my head to my back. Under my shirt, his arm now sliding around my waist, pulling us flush. I'm so undone, a shudder racks me, making him tighten his hold more. I know I shouldn't want these things. He won't be the kind of man to kiss me goodnight every night. He might have so much that it'd even be understandable if he forgot your birthday. He's not the guy you can have your happy life with. He's the guy women throw themselves at. He's the guy who wants more than what you can give, and he will always restlessly pursue it. I know all this, but I cannot stop from moving closer and feeling his heartbeat through the cotton of his shirt. We've been working tirelessly for months. He feels too good right now. And it feels too good to feel his eyes quietly caress me as his hands slowly stroke my hair and he tells me, "Have you thought about this?" I nod. He grabs the back of my neck and holds me still and kisses me. The next few minutes I'm trembling under his kisses and caresses, his hand running from the top of my head down to my feet as he removes my shoes. I feel protected. Cherished. What we're doing is risky, but how can it be wrong when it feels so right? Matt eases back and cups my face, and he looks so hot right now. I could be staring at the sun. He's staring at me as if I dazzle him, too, and the smile on his lips softens a little as his eyes start pulsing like a living, breathing thing. We're both high from the adrenaline, the forbiddenness of finally, finally giving in to this attraction between us. He scoops me up by the hips and lifts me in the air just a few inches so that my lips are exactly where he wants them. And he takes them. Hard. His lips forcing mine apart, his tongue plunging, his head angled for the best, most instant access. The longing that's been building inside of me bubbles up and I wrap my arms around his shoulders. It feels as if every day since I joined his campaign I've been waiting for this, to feel Matt's hands around me, holding me to his hard chest, engulfing me in his strong embrace. All my resistance vanishes as his tongue strokes mine, and I suck and lick and rub his tongue back in a whirl of heat and passion and recklessness. I tighten my arms around his neck, and he makes a low sound from deep in his chest, as if he approves of my wild kiss. He's breathing fast, but I'm breathing faster. He sets me on my feet, and his hand covers my cheek, and his fingers stroke along my temples. "I've been trying to do the right thing. I fucking can't," he says.
"Don't."
I turn my lips to nip at the heel of his palm. He releases a sound I'd never heard him make before, like a growl that contains one word inside it.
"Charlotte."
His lips smash down on mine. We kiss madly for about 30 seconds, then pull free to study each other. I look into his face. And he stares down at me,
Still the guy I craved when I was younger, but now so much hotter and more unattainable than ever. Nothing matters. It doesn't matter. All I know is I want him. My body is so on fire I could splinter any second. I take his hand and put it on my shirt and drag it lower, lower beneath the fabric of my blouse, then upward, pressing it to my breast, over my bra. Matt rewards me with a slow, languorous, sensual smile as he cups me fully in his warm grasp. He leans in and kisses me slowly this time, stroking his thumb over my nipple. I let his hand remain on my breast, thrilled when he flicks open a button with his free hand and steals it under my shirt. Now both my breasts are getting fondled, teased, kneaded. Swallowing back a groan, I grip his shoulders and fist the fabric of his shirt in my hands, arching up against him. I want to strip you down and run my tongue over every inch of you, he rasps. His body vibrates with his desire, and I can see that he likes how I'm rubbing up against him like a cat. He peels my blouse away and exposes me in my lace bra. God, you're so beautiful. I need to see all of you. He takes me in with his eyes, then our mouths are fusing back together. He kisses me with relish, as if he plans to enjoy me all night. Yes. Things are getting heated when there are noises out in the hotel hall. Matt peels his lips away. He lifts his head and turns to watch the door, and I wait, holding my breath. His nostrils flare as the noises fade. Doubts try to trickle in, but they don't stand a chance against this. Against him. He glances back at me, his chest heaving, his lips tipping a little. He looks at me and licks his lips. Charlotte. Charlotte. You have no idea the kinds of things I want to do to you, baby. Show me. Do it. For long seconds, he looks down at my lace bra and slowly lowers his head and captures one nipple. He flicks it with his tongue. It's already hard, but when he sucks over the thin fabric, it hardens more. His growl excites me. I groan and rub my hands over his back when he eases his hands between our bodies, under the waistband of my skirt. His fingers slip into my panties, brushing over my folds. Give me this, beautiful. He part growls, part croons as he finds my nub, my folds, and teases his finger along my wetness. God, give me everything.
Please.
I tilt my hips as he pushes his finger inside me. I clench around him, my whole body tightening as a low mewl bubbles up my throat. That's right, baby. Do you like it when I do this? He asks thickly as he inserts a second finger. He's easing my bra down and circling the tip of his tongue across my bared nipple, murmuring, God, you're so gorgeous like this. When there's a knock on the door. Matt peels his lips away and curses under his breath, extracting his finger and licking it clean. That has to be the sexiest thing I have ever seen, God help me. Smirking, he heads to the door. He looks through the peephole and then waits until I straighten my clothes before he opens it. Wilson steps inside swiftly and shuts the door.
Someone must have recognized you and tipped off the press. We need to leave, Matt.
He's frowning and seems to be avoiding looking at me.
Jesus, Matt growls.
He rakes five fingers through his hair, obviously pissed. Then Matt glances at me in apology. He shoots a glance at Wilson next.
Give us a minute.
Wilson steps out, and I can't move fast enough. I can tell Matt can see I'm mortified as he crosses the room while I scramble to straighten my clothes. He grabs my face and looks at me closely, our eyes only inches apart.
Hey, stay calm, baby. We're adults. We're not hurting anyone.
I know. I just don't want to mess anything up. It's just that, since that night...
I shake my head. I could just hit myself for being so weak around him, for having such little self-control when it comes to him.
I couldn't forget you. No years were enough. I watched you everywhere you went. I wasn't even sure if I should take the job. When Carlisle came to offer me the job, I thought that if I still felt the spark I did at the mere thought of you, I'd stay away. I should be staying away.
Tell me about the spark, he says, his eyes sparkling now.
I purse my lips, frowning, suddenly mad at him for looking at me with those laughing eyes right now.
It's not a spark.
No?
I grit my teeth, shooting fire at him with my gaze. It's sparks, plural.
I shake my head. It's a torch. The Olympic torch.
Ah, he says. I swear this man can chuckle silently with his eyes. I don't know how he does that.
I shove his hard chest a bit and keep scowling.
Why can't I dislike you like I do your opponents?
Because you want to sleep with me. I laugh despite myself, then turn away to the window. Sober now. He steps behind me, inhales my hair slowly. My heart flips in my chest because he's brushing his nose lightly into my scalp. His voice is close to my ear.
Sleep with me when we get to DC this weekend.
Matt,
I begin.
Yes. No, no, no.
I'm torn as I slowly face him. He's people's sexiest man alive, despite years working to be taken seriously. Fooling around with a young intern isn't the image he's worked to achieve.
We've started something here. I'm not about to let it go, he says, cutting me off.
Wow. He's really stubborn.
I exhale. He catches my chin and smiles down at me. He repeats,
sleep with me in DC.
I ease an inch back, away from his touch.
I'm just realizing that I don't know if I can do this.
Why?
Because I'm not sure that I don't want more.
My admission is sobering to myself. And to him.
More, he repeats.
He drops his hold, then rakes a hand over his hair while a restless little muscle starts working in the back of his jaw.
My biggest fear is my kids will experience things in life and I won't know about it. That I'll be the last to wish them a happy birthday. That my wife will be alone every night because I'm too busy to even kiss her goodnight. I couldn't do that to you, Charlotte. I watched my mother suffer greatly next to my father when he took office.
He shoves his fisted hands into his pockets, looking down at me intently.
I want you, Charlotte. I want us. This. But if I win...
Shadows fall across his eyes, and reality floods my heart at the unspoken words that hang heavily in the air. Winning doesn't come with more. It's a sacrifice he's willing to make to become this country's leader, and one I admire him for.
You will win, I tell him.
I'm fighting to keep the regret from my voice. Matt just stares at me, my lips, my face, lifting his fingers as his lips curl.
All this conviction, he croons, rubbing the pad of his thumb over my lips.
My heart is tripping all over itself. I can't help staring at his full, sensuous lips. I might not get more, but I can't deny myself another kiss from this man. I lean up on my toes, slipping my arms around his neck, around this stubborn, confident, kind, sexy, larger-than-life, rebellious man's neck. And my lips meet his. We're kissing heatedly, and there's a light tap on the door, and the stolen moments are gone. And as he chucks my chin, smiles, and heads out the door, reality starts to sink in. 22. Flirting with Danger. Charlotte. I exhale and pull the zipper of my black sweatshirt up to my neck. I slip on a baseball cap, guiding my ponytail through the small hole in the back, and place glasses over my eyes even though the sun is already setting. I'm in my DC apartment, and it's Saturday afternoon. Ever since our meeting in that hotel room and almost getting caught, I can't shake this overwhelming feeling of dread. My stomach twists and turns in knots thinking of what I'm about to do. I know that this is risky, beyond risky, going to his house on his one night off. But I need to talk to him, in private. If I don't do this one risky thing, we'll keep doing a million risky things right up until election day. I need to stop this before we get in too deep, to the point of no return. A part of me fears that we already have. And a part of my soul tells me that no attempt on either of our parts can really stop the avalanche of emotions now surging between us, present in every look, touch, smile, and kiss. I need him to know that we can't continue this dangerous thing we have started, because I would never forgive myself if I cost him his presidency. Presidential elections, and especially presidential campaigns, are very delicate things. One wrong move. One wrong comment, one slip-up can mean game over, And for Matt, an independent candidate already having to fight against two long-standing parties with history, loyalty, dirty tricks, and a lot of money on their sides, he can't afford a slip-up. I ask my parents if I can borrow their car for the night and say that I'm going out for drinks with my friends. However, I drive toward Matt Hamilton's house. I didn't want to take a cab because I didn't want anyone else knowing of my little trip. When I roll up to his house, I feel my stomach turn and twist into a million knots. I force myself to open my car door and walk up the steps to ring his bell. A couple of shaky breaths later, and a couple more thoughts of chickening out, Matt Hamilton stands in his doorway, barefoot, hair rumpled, in black jeans and a dark blue t-shirt. He inhales a sharp breath when he sees me and rakes his eyes over my body before asking me in a gruff voice, "Why are you here, Charlotte?" I smile, but I know it doesn't quite reach my eyes. "Can I come in?" He doesn't respond, merely eyes me with curiosity and steps aside to let me walk past him. He moves just enough to let me go by, but not enough for me to do so without touching him. My shoulder grazes his chest, and his scent envelops me. He leads me to his living room, where I see the TV is on with the volume low. On his desk is a mess of papers and folders. He sits across me and clasps his hands behind his head, his eyes never leaving mine. He sits in silence, piercing gaze on me, and I just take him in, every fiber of my being telling me to go crawl into his lap and let his warmth soothe away any doubt or fear in my head. But I can't move. "I can't do this, Matt. What happened in your hotel room?" I meet his gaze, his eyes like hot coals, his jaw clenched tightly. I gulp and continue. "We almost got caught. I can't be the reason for you losing this presidency."
"You will not be the reason for me losing. If anything, you'll be the reason for me winning."
I shake my head. "You know that we're playing with fire. This is the Oval Office, the White House. I can't let you throw it away for me."
"I'm not throwing anything away, Charlotte."
He eyes me steadily.
"Why are you so worried?" he prods.
"Why do you think? The whole nation has their eyes on you, Matt. The last thing you need is a scandal."
"There will not be a scandal. I won't allow it. You need to trust me."
He leans forward, his eyes scanning my features, his voice unwavering, hard and deadly serious.
"I would never let anything happen to you. And even if something broke out in the news, I would protect you."
"If anything happened, you know you would need to throw me under the bus. It would be the only way to salvage your image with the people and keep your campaign going."
My heart breaks at my words, because as much as it hurts, it's the truth.
He would have to place the blame on me, control the narrative in such a way that made me seem like a power-hungry girl looking to sleep her way to the White House, and make Matt seem like the victim. That's just politics. He stands up and starts pacing and lets out a sarcastic laugh.
"You really think I would do that to you?"
I stay silent, unable to speak.
"Jesus, I would rather lose the presidency than hurt you," he growls, in a voice so low I wasn't sure I heard him.
"That is exactly why we need to stop," I plead.
He digs his hand into his hair in an exasperated motion. "I don't want to stop," he says, looking at me with such conviction and desire in his eyes it almost scares me.
"Neither do I," I whisper. "But we have to."
"Fuck, Charlotte. Just let me have you. Let me have this."
His eyes pin me to my seat, his raw, unrestrained frustration burning bright.
"I may be the next president of the United States. I'll be damned if I don't have what I want," he growls. "And I want you. I not only want you, I need you. No matter what I'm doing, I'm thinking of you. No matter who I'm with, I would rather they be you."
He stands there, his chest rising and falling with his every breath, his fists clenching at his sides, the muscle in his jaw ticking. I sit there in shock at his outburst, at his words. My heart is practically bursting in my chest at the adoration I feel for this man, and I let myself go. I let myself go to him, because I want to. I rise from my seat, and his pupils dilate as I walk toward him, his fists still clenched at his sides. I see him fighting the urge to reach out to me. I walk right up to him, our chests almost touching. Matt tips his head down to look at me, since he towers over me, and the turmoil in his eyes sets me on fire. I wrap my arms around his neck and plaster myself against his body, and I start to kiss him with everything I've got. I don't care about more. I don't care that there is no future for us if he wins. I won't deny us both this moment. He said he needs me, and I need him. I kiss him, and in my kisses I unleash all the desire, all the passion, all the need I had been so desperately trying to fight. And he does the same. Immediately his arms wrap around my waist and I feel him lift me up. Instinctively I wrap my legs around his waist. His hands grip my ass, holding me against him, and he keeps returning my kisses with equal intensity. He kisses the shit out of me. All memories of anything existing in the universe other than this man, this moment, completely disappear. He growls against my lips, and I feel him start to walk while kissing me. He breaks the kiss for a moment to take me up the stairs, but I can't keep my mouth off him, his jaw, down his neck, nibbling and sucking on his delicious skin. He kicks the door open, and I think he just broke the hinges, but I don't care. The room is dark except for one lamp next to his bed. He sets me down on his dresser, the first thing he finds, and stands between my legs, his mouth back on mine, taking my breath away. His kiss is drugging, his lips warm and soft, yet firm. His tongue is warm, too, and every time he puts it inside my mouth, I feel tingles all over. It feels intimate and incredible. I sigh against him, but my sigh quickly turns into a moan as his hand travels down and unzips my sweatshirt. He pushes it halfway off my shoulders, the straps of my top following. He doesn't even take my bra off, just yanks down one of the cups and takes my nipple in his mouth. I gasp and wrap my legs tighter around him, letting my head fall back because of how exquisite it feels. Matt. He sucks harder, twirling his tongue against my nipple, making me wetter and wetter by the second. I could do this all day, he groans as he pulls down my other cup and takes my other nipple in his mouth. Just as I get used to the warmth of his mouth on me, he pulls back, gaining a moan from me in protest. He looks at me and reaches up to cup my face, giving me a slow, tender kiss before reaching between us and unbuttoning my jeans. I feel my heartbeat get faster as I realize what he wants to do. I quickly jump off the dresser and take off my jeans, my sweatshirt, and my top, leaving on just my panties and bra. Matt yanks his t-shirt off, revealing miles of hard, strong, male, ripped chest muscles. He takes me in, standing in just my bra and panties, his eyes filled with admiration and lust. I look back at him, silently begging him to take me to his bed already. And he does. He picks me up and lays me down on the bed, following close behind. He lies on top of me, kissing me senseless, his hands traveling down my torso and gripping my ass. He sucks on my neck, licking and biting. I rake my nails down his back and moan, rocking my hips against his hardness. Please, I beg. He chuckles against my neck and then lifts his head to look me in the eye when he places his hand over my panties. What do you want, my lovely, beautiful, sexy Charlotte? He continues kissing my neck and rubbing his fingers against my soaked panties. Before I can answer, he pulls my panties to the side and slips his finger inside me, and I gasp in response. My breath is coming fast and hard, and I'm out of control with want as I pull his head up so that he'll kiss me again. He doesn't need to be asked. His lips fasten to mine without apology or restraint. Then he swipes his tongue down my neck, kissing and nibbling my skin. I'm high, absolutely high on him, on this moment. Matt drags his fingers along my stomach. I stroke his pecs and kiss his nipple too. A groan of pure hunger and approval rumbles up his chest. He leans over me again. Matthew unhooks my bra and exposes my breasts. He touches me. My nipples harden under the feathery touch and I suck in a breath. I wait, my body tense, wanting. He strokes the pad of his thumb over the tip of my breast, sending a shiver down my spine. So responsive, he says as he leans over and kisses the inside of my thigh. I squirm a little, and his laugh caresses my skin. So sweet. He moves his lips over my sex. Oh, God. He trails his hand up my hip, to my breasts. My muscles contract deeply, and a low groan leaves me. He tugs my panties off and tosses them to the floor. His thumb circles my clit and passes over my wet slit, over my folds, then penetrates me. I clench my muscles, even my belly muscles. Oh. He pulls on my breast with one hand. He breathes in my skin and licks and laps my nipple.